I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We finished the show today by going back to Chrisfield, Maryland, where this week the folks in the little fishing community in Somerset County got some pretty bad news. The individual assistance funding that Governor O'Malley requested from FEMA was denied. We spoke with FEMA spokesperson Mike Wade and asked him why it was denied.
Although we're aware that the Marylanders have suffered a lot of personal losses as a result of Sandy, it was determined that it is not beyond the capabilities of the state, local governments, and the volunteer agencies to help them.
Now, Governor O'Malley is expected to appeal the decision, but in the meantime, hundreds of people in Chrisfield who have been displaced are facing the very real possibility that they won't be back in their homes for the distant future. Now they're left with no other choice but to lean on one another, and the vast number of volunteer agencies and faith-based organizations who are helping them. Reverend Kim Gielson is one of those volunteers, as his church has turned into a food shelter on Main Street in Chrisfield. They've served up thousands of hot meals thus far and are doing the best they can to help this community that's been devastated by Superstorm Sandy. And while they plan on continuing to help as much as they can, Gielson wonders how long they can make it work, financially speaking.
We opened our doors and became the facility for the distribution of not just food and stable products, but we also then became the repository for clothing, coats specifically, and blankets, and space heaters for those who were beginning to get electricity back, coolers and ice packs for people who had that kind of a need. And then we expanded as we listened to people's needs to such things as simplistic as toothbrushes and toothpaste and, again, paper towels, toilet paper, deodorant. Then people came in and were asking for cleaning supplies to begin to try to clean up. Also, there was an immediate need for people to be able to stop and to have a hot meal. And so our best guess is we've served about 4,000 meals with a variety of volunteers volunteering to help, some to just help by making soup and sandwiches or donating a hot meal and bringing it, and then volunteers from Chrisfield serving the meals and doing takeouts for people who wanted to continue working and just, you know, take their food with them. We also have been blessed to have some folks who would come in and provide their own volunteers. And we have figured volunteer hours have saved FEMA literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And all of that became part of the documentation to FEMA to request, stop forgetting about Chrisfield. Chrisfield needs help.
Comparatively speaking, going back to numbers, you know, you mentioned all the volunteer hours as well as the number of meals. You know, this is a small community. Give people a sense of scale of how many people live here and how many people, you know, the chunk of the town that has been impacted. I know hundreds of homes have been flooded, but, okay, you know, just how much of the town was impacted by the storm.
My best guess is that when you consider that the river or the bay and the tributaries that came up through the town went up the highway, went up 413, approximately 2 miles. You could have a foot of water in your home. You could have had 5 feet of water in your home. And if you were very unlucky, because not only the flooding, but the wind that for 5 hours roared from 75 to 95 miles an hour and toppled trees, if you had a double whammy, your first floor was flooded and your roof was torn off and your second floor was totally demolished by wind and rain. And I have talked to many people who are in that scenario. I have heard recently that upwards of 500 homes have been identified as severely damaged. And I have, on a daily basis, as I drive through the community, have noticed more and more pink signs And that pink sign means that that building is condemned and is no longer habitable, not even to be repaired. It's not what they're seeing from New York and New Jersey, homes totally off their foundations, although we do have homes off their foundations. But knock on a door, have someone, if they're not afraid that your government and are going to send them away, if they open the door, you can find toxic black mold growing that is sometimes almost knee-deep. And that is biohazard. We can't even send a volunteer in to a home that is being filled up with black mold. That is a biohazard suit, mask, to be repaired. The only telltale signs sometimes is as you drive down the streets, you see the flooring in the front yard, you see the carpeting in the front yard, you see the child's toys in the front yard, you see the furniture in the front yard, pots, pans, clothing. You know, okay, that home has been, you know, devastated. Or people hung white flags or rags or towels, and you know as you drive down the street. I can take you to a street where every home is condemned.
You know, I was speaking with Noah Bradshaw the other day about what Crisfield could potentially look like when it does rebuild.
Right.
And he said that because of an act of nature, Crisfield may look very different when it does rebuild.
Yeah.
What do you think the future holds for this town?
Well, on the flip side, as you look at the town, there is some incredible history. As some of these homes are Victorian homes that were built in the 1800s. And so I think there's a delicate balance. You want to preserve history, and you want to preserve that part of our national heritage and our local heritage that also gets into culture and things of those nature. But then, I mean, you also need to look to the future. I think I'm concerned about the future of Crisfield as to the tax base. Mm-hmm. All these homes come down. Are residents going to leave and never come back, never return? Or are they going to return? And as the face of Crisfield changes, you know, it becomes exciting and we again can begin to attract tourism and make a few changes, but keep our culture and our history so that we have that nice balance and Crisfield can still be known as the crab capital of the world. The watermen are in this delicate balance of nature and what this has done to them, to their boats. Did their boat make it through the flood? Are they repairing their boat? Are they spending a day or two to work on their home, which means they're not out on the water? And then I understand that last Thursday and Friday, none of the seafood places were even buying oysters. So the men didn't go out last Thursday and Friday.
Because the restaurants need, you know, they can't open. So, you know, obviously they're not buying any of the products, so it impacts everything.
Yeah, it's like a domino.
What do you need now? Is it volunteers? It sounds like you have volunteers. It sounds like you have donations. The sense I get in talking to people is you need help from, I guess, a higher power, whether it be state or federal.
Yeah, state, federal government need to come in here and start to provide the help that is needed for this area, because the cost to repair this town, not just the infrastructure of the town, the individual homeowners, the businesses, the cost is going to be beyond what any charitable organizations can do. We've been in here since day one. We have teams coming from California in here to work. UMCOR has teams coming from the Pacific Northwest, from the state of Washington, coming in here to work. Now, we can bring teams in here to work, but if they don't have the money for the materials to begin to start to put a new roof on, mm-hmm. You can put a new roof on if there's no roofing material.
Or people that can put on a roof.
Yeah. And so, people are getting discouraged. The farther we are from Hurricane Sandy, the more likely we feel we're not going to get it. And then we are on our own. and the kindness of humanity from all the nonprofits who will come in here and try to make it happen.
How long can your congregation go at the rate that you've been going as far as helping?
Well, my congregation, I have people who are displaced. The budget of this congregation right now is $18,000 in the red, but we are helping.
At Reverend Gilson's church, I meet Mark Bradshaw. He's standing in line for canned food items. He's a waterman that's been out of his home since the storm. He's not been able to go out on the water, and he's been struggling with trying to explain to his five-year-old why they won't be going home for the holidays. He's wondering if help is ever going to be on the way.
You know, it seems like Crisfield's been forgot about, and we've got just as much damage, a lot of people, as what they have in New York and New Jersey. But we don't have anybody doing a concert for us down here. It's a lot of people that's got hurt from the storm, and they're still struggling, you know, to get by. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want back to a normal, their normal life.
On the day-to-day, just trying to get back in your home, talk about that process, you know, working with the city, you know, working, you know, just who's going to give you the go-ahead to go back into your home? And, you know, are you dealing with insurance companies as well as city people? You know, talk about that.
Well, we have homeowners insurance, but we never purchased flood insurance. So the homeowners has done their part. Now we're waiting. We're kind of hoping that we can obtain some kind of federal loan from FEMA or whatever the deal is with them. Hopefully I never have to deal with them again, but it's a struggle.
Talk about what this storm did to just the everyday, you know, economy and you know, people just going to work and getting out there under the water.
I missed better than a week of work trying to get my family straight. I have three children, two still living at home. My five-year-old, now she don't understand what's happened, why we can't go back in the house. My 19-year-old is, you know, she understands, but it's affected her too as far as she goes to college. She's had to take off from college to help her and her mother out, me and myself and her mother. And I don't know, man, it's been devastating, to put it mildly. It's been devastating.
I know with such widespread devastation and hundreds of homes that have been impacted and people that have been displaced, I know this community is really trying to lean on one another and certainly, you know, community efforts like what's going on here at the church to help feed folks who've been displaced. Talk about how this community has banded together.
Well, the community's been incredible, and the churches, that organizations that have come here to this community have been absolutely incredible. They work tirelessly for no money. They will not take any money. And they've been here a few days after the storm, maybe the day of. I didn't see them the day of, but mm-hmm. at least a couple of days after. And they have not stopped. Yeah. They're steady working, helping people, seeing what they can do for the community. And I just got to give all praise to those organizations. I mean, it's words can't express what they've done for this community.
Oh, my God.
You can see the... Here's the line. What's that, about 3 feet, maybe?
Tina Thorne has lived in Crisfield for almost 20 years. Her little ranch house took on several feet of water during Hurricane Sandy and is now completely gutted and being overrun with black mold. The air stings your lungs when you walk through it. She says she's not sure if anyone in her community is going to come back.
Next door, man across the street, everybody down, there's a little side road here, all of those people except one, they're all gone. Nobody's really talking about coming back, because what's there to come back to?
I mean, how long did it take just for the waters to go down to just get to the point where you could tear everything out?
Well, I came back after 4 days. We couldn't get in before that unless you walked, and it was so deep and cold, it was like you didn't really want to walk in it. And then the Saturday following the hurricane, we had volunteers. They called it Crisfield Cleanup Day, and volunteers came from everywhere. And they came, and they said if you needed any help getting rid of debris or whatever, just give somebody a call. And we had 9 volunteers come here just to tear up my wall or tear up my carpet for me and get that out of the house and to take my furniture away. So that helped a lot, because that way we would, you know, you didn't have the mold. You could see like this part here,
yeah,
spongy. They told me the floors are going to go, that they'll all disintegrate. You know, all the walls have to go. They said this part would be at least 4 feet, and this part would have to go up to the ceiling to get out. Wow. Because you can see where it's already sitting in.
Yeah.
But
the mold's already coming.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it now, right, and you imagine all the years of living in this home, I mean, what does it make you feel like to see that it's just all gone? Can you quantify that or put that in any sort of words?
Devastation. When everything was still in the house, I didn't think I'd ever be able to get it out, because they said in order to do an assessment, I had to get the stuff out that was salvageable, and it was like, how do I get this out by myself? And then I had some friends from church, and different ones came in and helped me pack up, like my grandmama's dishes, stuff that you cannot replace. And we were able to get, and then I got a place to rent for a few months, and I was able to get it there so they could come in and do the assessment. And that's when I was told it's going to be over $100,000.
For people like Tina Thorne and Mark Bradshaw, they've been hoping that the federal government would provide individual assistance to homeowners to help with the rebuilding process. But as we mentioned earlier, that request was denied. Jim Mathias is a Democratic state senator who represents Somerset, Worcester, and Wicomico counties. He's been working diligently to get help for Crisfield since the storm hit, but he was beside himself when the federal ruling came in on Monday night.
I can't remember a moment where I've been more deeply disappointed in a public policy decision.
In addition, U.S. Senator Barbara Mikulski spoke on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, expressing her own disdain with the federal government's decision to deny aid to storm victims in Maryland.
We've got one really sad day today. Maryland woke up in the Lower Shore to this headline: U.S. denies aid to Maryland storm victims. This is the picture of the face of Maryland during the storm. I won't show you the picture of the face of the Lower Shore this morning. You've been down on the shore. You are a frequent and most welcome visitor. You know that shore. You know the people. You know how hardworking they are. You know how patriotic they are. And you know the demographics. When you talk about rural people whose incomes depend on either commercial fishing or on agriculture, they are rich in pride, patriotism, and individualism, but they're often very cash poor. And that's what's happened to us. We in Maryland have some of the most prosperous counties in America, but we also have some of the most poor, and that's who got hit by this storm. Somerset County is a little county surrounded by three sides of water: the Chesapeake Bay, a creek, and also the Atlantic Ocean. People love to come down from National Geographic to take pictures about how quaint and lovely and charming we are. They want to hear the songs. Well, right now, we're singing the blues, and we're singing them loud, and we're singing them clear, and we're singing them here.
Earlier this week, I walked out on a dilapidated dock that stretches into the Chesapeake Bay, right next to one of Crisfield's main fishing marinas. There's boats and crab pots everywhere. There were very few fishermen. Locals tell me this storm has destroyed their way of life, and many of them are left wondering if this historic and proud fishing community will ever be the same. And many others believe that if Governor O'Malley's appeal fails and this community doesn't get help from the federal government, the road to recovery will be as long and endless as the Chesapeake Bay looks from this broken pier. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.
Lady Grace's Buick got 4 bullet holes in the side, and Charlie Delisle is sitting at the top of an avocado tree. Mrs. Storm will stab you with a steak knife if you step on a lawn.